When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome sales event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome sales event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I saw an interesting list today, and it's an interesting list because I am a fat kid at heart. I might just still be a fat kid. The Taste Atlas Awards are out, and it's interesting to me because it has a ton of data behind it. It is something that is based on 367,000 ratings of 11,000 dishes worldwide, and based on all those votes and all those dishes, they came up with the best 100 dishes in the world. And so I'm interested to see how many of these you find appealing. Now, I'm not going to go through all 100, obviously.
This is the best dishes? Sorry.
Dishes. So yeah, not full cuisines.
Okay.
And I can send you the link as well. But basically, this Taste Atlas, they do the 100 best dishes. They do also do the 100 best cuisines, the best food regions, the best food cities, the best restaurants, and the best cookbooks. So if you're looking for food-related award end-of-the-year content, this is probably your place. But like way down on the list at like 97 was Kansas City Barbecue. I'm like, love that. I mean, granted, I might have it higher, but let's...
I'd have it higher.
Where should we start here? Top 50? Top 20? What do you guys want to do here?
No, I want to rail against what they're doing to my Kansas City Barbecue.
I know.
It's so good. I remember we got to play a game down there, and one of our boosters bought it all out, like bought out a restaurant for Kansas City Barbecue. And then,
nice.
So we basically had like an hour of all you can eat, and he was going to pick up the bill. It was like the burnt ends were fantastic, the brisket, the ribs, like everything. And then you've got 50 fat football players that are just going to town on the barbecue. It was fantastic. To this day, it's still probably the best non like homemade meal that I've had. I think
there is something that is really perfect about barbecue when it's done right, because to do barbecue right, it takes so much time and patience, and it takes more than most people have.
Oh, right.
And it takes someone usually perfecting a process and a recipe. No one's getting barbecue perfect their first time, and no one's getting it done quickly ever. So if it's good, the person has worked on the recipe, and they have been patient and waited all day for your ass, possibly, starting, you know, briskets at 2 a.m. or what have you. I used to be a bit of a meat smoker myself, and I still have the Traeger. I can almost never use it anymore because I never have the time to commit 8 hours to a pork shoulder or 12 hours to a brisket. It's just to be monitoring as well. I could throw something in there, but it's not exactly set it and forget it. So I really appreciate good barbecue, mostly because it's near impossible to do at home, and even a lot of restaurants don't do it well because of the difficulty. So I'm with you there. Good barbecue can be absolutely great.
They have Texas style barbecue at 96. Disagree.
Oh, do they? Let's
they
see.
They do. Disagree. Kansas City barbecue should be above Texas barbecue.
And the Kansas City barbecue is the sweeter kind, right?
I believe so.
And that's where I would rank the top at the barbecue, like, order now, of...
So, yeah, I believe that Kansas City is more, like, is more barbecue sauce. Like, you get more sauce base, sweeter. I think Texas, you get more of like the vinegar, and
I think it's hotter, right?
I thought that was North Carolina was the vinegar, but maybe
You're right. You're right.
I think it's a hot. I think Texas is a little more hot.
And then Memphis is known mostly for their rubs, their dry rubs.
Which, and here's the deal with the Texas. So, like, to be fair, right now when you look at the rankings, it's all Austin. Where I had my Texas style barbecue was more of San Antonio and like Lubbock area, because those are the places that I actually played football in, and I haven't had a chance to like just go and visit Texas. So I will be completely fair to Texas in that aspect, but having been to Kansas City, having had Kansas City barbecue, it is too low to be in the 90s.
Start at number 25 on this list, and that is tonkatsu ramen. I am a big fan of Japanese ramen. I'm probably more of a miso man, but tonkatsu is just fine. It's a pork bone broth, and
savory.
The first big trip my wife and I ever took when we were dating was a trip to Japan, because we got an email about round-trip flights from San Francisco to Tokyo for $400, and we're like, I guess we should go. We don't even know if we're going to like each other still in 6 months, but we should go ahead and try it. And so we did. It worked. We had ramen every single day that we were there. It wasn't always tonkatsu, but fresh ramen done the right way. Often it takes a couple days to build a really good ramen broth. The noodles can be finicky. Good ramen is great, but even bad ramen is great. Top ramen is great. I'm here for all of it.
See, I'm not a huge...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Ramen falls into like, I'm cool with it and I will eat it, but I'm actually anti-soup. And I've been long on my anti-soup, and chili doesn't count, but anti-soup, anti-stews. So I don't know that that would be the best avenue for me. That being said, if I am going to have anything like that, I'm going to go with, like, I've had top ramen. I will eat top ramen. Top ramen is fine. So I would assume that a better version of ramen would be good.
Number 24 is a dish we're probably all familiar with, tagliatelle al ragu bolognese. So basically just tagliatelle noodles with a bolognese sauce. Delightful. How could you go wrong there? Then we get into, are you not a bolognese guy?
No, I am.
Straightforward here.
I am. I'm just like looking at it and it made me laugh because it's like, you just said a bunch of words and I'm like, I have no idea what he's talking about. And then I scrolled up and I was like, it's just meat sauce with like the other, it's all spaghetti and noodles to me. It's just a different version of spaghetti and noodles.
Then we get into something that I have never heard of called pempek or, empek or pekpek. But this is pempek. It is an Indonesian dish. It's an Indonesian fish cake made with ground fish meat and tapioca. The actual origin of the dish is from Palembang, Indonesia. And over time, it was recognized as a praiseworthy snack, an Indonesian delicacy. These round or rectangle cakes, usually steamed, and right before serving, they're fried in a vegetable oil and cut into bite-sized pieces. Sliced cucumbers, noodles, or rice are typical accompaniments. I don't know. I think I could probably I could probably do without the peck peck or pem peck.
Yeah, I think I'm going to say no on that one.
I'm not a seafood cake guy, like, at all. Not just peck peck, but, like, crab cakes or salmon cake. Not a fan.
Then we go to the famous German goose dish, Weihnachtsgans. I think that's how you say it.
I think you nailed that.
A traditional German roasted goose that is prepared for Christmas. Typically filled with onions, prunes, chestnuts, apples, and or dates. Also often stuffed with a dough or meat filling. Mm. Seasoned with salt, pepper, thyme, marjoram in most cases. Once prepared, the goose is served with simple staples such as dumplings, spetzel, red cabbage, and gravy. Sounds all right.
I don't know that I've ever had duck.
Duck is good.
I like duck.
Does it taste like chicken?
A little greasier, but yeah.
Richer, fattier, generally.
Yes, fattier, definitely.
And like, darker, right? Generally, it's like a darker.
It's like
a darker
all
meat.
Dark meat. Yeah,
yeah. But so I've never had goose before. My cousin's husband, he's one of those guys that like thinks something sounds like a cool idea, and he's like, I could do that. So like two Christmases ago, he's like, people in like books and you know like the a Christmas here, like talk about like a Christmas goose. Like I would just really like to do a Christmas goose. He went out of his way to find where he could get like a full whole. Cleaned goose to make for Christmas. It said it was miserable. It said it was tough. It was greasy. It was so I don't know. I'm a little bit hesitant about the bird type, but the preparation doesn't sound bad.
Sure, I'm probably not gonna try it.
21, we have Cordero Asado. That's a Spanish lamb dish. This sounds pretty good.
Lamb's all right. Lamb.
I typically like beef more than I like lamb, and it's not that I'm anti-lamb. I think I just prefer the beef flavor, but the authentic Cordero Asado is basically when they take the suckling lamb or a younger lamb and they fillet it and they roast the whole thing. So, pretty
so you're
authentic
baby lamb.
Yeah, which I mean, I guess lambs are just baby sheep. So baby. I don't know.
Ew, you're eating a baby's baby.
Mm. Well, I guess that could go for anything you eat, any animal that is.
Guess
and then another thing that I'm not going to be able to pronounce. Chakahuka, and the Algerian dish, a stew.
Not that kind of hookah.
No. Wait, is this shakshuka? Like shakshuka? Maybe it's just a different
spelling
of
shakshuka.
You know what?
I'm not going to be able to correct your pronunciations on this. I mispronounce things that are in English all the time. I'm not going to be able to help
well,
you
Well, there's
with,
like a Middle Eastern...
I got
tomatoey like stew dish called shakshuka, and this is very close and also a stew, but it's from Algeria. I don't know, man. It's got
it looks fine.
Lamb, tomato, chickpeas, onion, cumin, caraway. It looks fine.
What this exercise is teaching me is that unfortunately, I might be the bad American. Where I'm looking at some of these and I'm like,
you might be going too far with a bad American. You just haven't tried a lot of these things. That's fine.
Well, I haven't either. I might be the ugly American because there's a couple of these.
Where are my chicken nuggies?
Where is my pizza? Where's just give me beef.